Okay, come. Let's turn to God's word this morning. Imagine a nation made up of people that are so wicked and cruel. Okay? They are a prosperous nation. They are a strong nation. And what they do is they go conquering other nations. And it's not enough that they conquer the other nation, but they slaughter the people there. And it's not that they just kill them, but they do inflict cruel punishment upon people. Imagine skinning them alive, okay? Chopping their body parts off and doing all kinds of wicked things. Yeah. Now, this is history. I'm not giving you mythology, but history. How would you react? What would you do to that nation if you had power? You know, we would want revenge. We would want punishment. And this morning, we're going to look at God's word and see what is God's heart towards wicked people. All right? And the book I'm going to share from and begin this series from is the book of, any guesses? Jonah. Okay, the book of Jonah. Okay, so if you first turn to the indices, the index, and look up Jonah, because it's a very small book. It's just four chapters, probably two or three pages, and it's not very often referred to. But look at the book of Jonah, and this is the story of Jonah. Okay, so Jonah was a prophet. He lived about 750 years before Christ in a place close to Nazareth, and he lived at that time in a kingdom called Israel. So the Jewish nation was made up of two kingdoms. There was Judah and Israel. The northern kingdom was Israel, and he was a prophet in Israel. And he lived during the reign of a king called Jeroboam II, and the nation was prosperous and doing well at that time. Okay? And but at that time, God spoke to Jonah and said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Okay, and I want you to go there, and I want you to tell Nineveh the wickedness of that nation has come before me, and tell them to repent, or else I'm going to destroy the nation." Okay, and we know that God is a holy God. He can't stand sin, and in the past He has destroyed nations. We know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, we've seen other nations in the New Testament where God has destroyed evil. But this time, God tells Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh, which is about 500 miles to the northeast of where Jonah was, and say, I want you to tell them to repent or I will destroy the nation." Now, you know, for us, it's like, think about it. Imagine if God spoke to you and says, "I want you to go to Syria and tell the ISIS people and the terrorists there who've been killing and slaughtering people, tell them to repent, or in 40 days, God is going to destroy them." Most of us will say, "Okay, God, I'll stay at home." I want them to be, you know, that's our natural inclination. Yeah, they've done evil, they need to be punished. I'm not going to tell them to repent. I don't want them to get a chance. You know, that's the natural inclination of man. And Jonah was no different. Okay, Assyria was a rival to Israel. Okay, and they had heard about the evil that Assyria had done and was doing. And so Jonah was in no mood to go and tell them to repent. So let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 onwards. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Okay, so there you see, God's word comes to Jonah, and Jonah is not an ordinary man. Okay, he is a prophet. Turn quickly to 2 Kings 14:25. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, talks about Jonah. It says, "In accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher." In verse 25, it says, "He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel." So Jonah was a big prophet. Okay, he had prophesied that the land that Israel had lost would be recovered, and it had been done. Okay? So Jonah was an established prophet living in Israel at a time of prosperity and peace. And it was in that time that God said to him to go to Nineveh. Okay. So what did Jonah do? Did he go to Nineveh? No, let's look at what he did. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Okay, so we need to know a little geography here. Nineveh is northeast, 500 miles or 750 kilometers from 800 kilometers from Israel, where he is. Jonah goes in the opposite direction and he's heading 3,000 kilometers away, as far as he could go. Now, I mean, just think of the ridiculousness of this. Here's a man of God, a prophet of God, running away from God. You know, it's like little children. You know, when they do something wrong, okay, what they would, you know, I'll give you another example. There was a huge dog at my grandmother's place, okay? It was chained, but a ferocious dog which would bark. And so many years ago when we were kids and visited there, you know, my little sister was afraid of the dog. So you know what she would do? She would close her eyes and walk there, thinking that if she couldn't see the dog couldn't see her. You know, and that's what Jonah is doing. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 about God who is everywhere. He says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. If I go to the heights of the heaven, you are there. The God we worship is not a God of Pune or of Maharashtra or of India. He's the God who created the universe. You know, one of the qualities of God, you know, there are many qualities of God, but what's a quality of God? Today, anything and everybody is called God. One of the qualities is omnipresence. He's everywhere. Okay? If somebody qualifies of God, that God is everywhere, covers the entire universe. The second quality of God is omnipotent. He can do anything. There's nothing that God cannot do. He can do anything. Okay? And the third quality of God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. Psalm 139 says, before a word is on my lips, you know it. God knows what we are thinking. He knows we can't run away from his presence, and he can do everything. So simple. You want to see if something is God, is that person omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent? All right? Anyway, so this was Jonah trying to run away from God. Okay, so Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, here's something we need to know. You know, sometimes when we run away from God's word, God's command, God's presence, we may be disobedient and rebellious and go in the other direction, and we may find open arms. Now, can you imagine, what's the chance of finding a ship ready to leave at that time that Jonah went? You know, sometimes we say, oh, the Lord made it possible for me to do that. But really, this isn't the Lord's ship, okay? This is Satan's shipwreck. That's what it is, okay? So it's like, you know, when we choose, when we take a sinful decision, sometimes we say, if the Lord doesn't permit it, it won't happen. No. Sometimes God allows us. And that's what happened. Okay. So he paid the fare, went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then what happened? Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. What do we see here? We see the omnipotence of God. The God we worship controls the wind and the waves and the seas, and everything is in his control. Okay? All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Where was Jonah? But Jonah had gone below deck, and there he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Okay, so here we see Jonah. In the midst of the storm, now it must have been a bad storm if the sailors were feeling afraid. Has anybody been on a ship where there's been a storm and you've been uneasy. Okay? I was once on a ship. I was on a cruise and we were going. It was a short journey, not too long. I think it was less than 24 hours or so. But we hit some rough seas. And I tell you, it was a horrible, horrible experience. I mean, it was lightly rough. Nothing like this. Nothing like this. But I remember standing in the washroom and I was just feeling like throwing up. I'm saying, Lord, help. You know, and that was mild compared to what these guys were going through. You know, these are experienced sailors and they're saying, oh no. So can you imagine the intensity of the storm? Anyway, Jonah is woken up by the captain. And then the sailors realize that this is not an ordinary storm. Okay, this is a supernatural storm because they say this, let's cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. Okay, and they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the earth, the sea, and the dry land. This terrified them. And they asked, what have you done? You know, and they knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? And this is his answer. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. And I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, thankfully, those men were, you know, they had compassionate hearts. They said, what? How can we pick you and throw you into the sea? You're going to die. And they tried to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And now this is the amazing bit. You know, they were worshiping all their other little gods, but then they cried out to the Lord. They realized that the God of Jonah was the God who created all things, who controlled the seas and the land and the wind. And they said, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. All right? And what became of Jonah? Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that is true and eternal. I pray, and living and active, Lord, I pray that as we look to your word this morning, that your spirit would speak to our hearts. May your word come and bring life to us, Lord. We pray for your anointing upon me as I share your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, what can we learn from this account of Jonah? The first thing is, this is not a fairy story. This is true history, okay? How do we know that? Well, I've been to the city of Nineveh. Okay, it's in modern-day Iraq. It's near Mosul. Okay, you can't go there now, but many years ago. And so it is a city, and who's renowned there is Jonah. Okay, the people there know of Jonah. Anyway, apart from that, look at Matthew chapter 12. Okay, just turn to Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus himself refers to the story of Jonah. Okay, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him. That's Jesus saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Okay, so let's look at a few things that we can get from the story. The first thing we want to look at is that our God is sovereign. Okay? He controls the wind and the waves. He can control the lot of the sailors. Okay? He controls the sea. He controls the creatures in the sea. That's the God we worship. So lift your eyes up and look to the living God. He is sovereign. He is great. Everything is in His control. Okay? You get that? Now you may be thinking, I'm going through challenges. I'm going through difficulties in my life. Friends, God is in control of every situation in our lives. Okay? So if you are a follower of the true God, know that your life is in His hands. You know, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Everybody say all things. All things. All things. Okay? You know, we're talking about lots. Yeah. Let me give you an example from my life where the lot fell properly. Many years ago when I was in, during the invasion of Kuwait, okay, I was a refugee. We had left Kuwait and we had gone through Iraq, past all these places, gone into Syria. And we had gone there and the camps were full of people. There was no place in the camps. Okay, so here we are in the bus, we're in the camps, and they said, we will have to keep you in the desert for some time till there's place at the camp and then we'll move you there. So this busload of people, okay, were taken and huge. Has anybody seen a desert? Okay, there's nothing there. It's just flat. No mountains, no hills, nothing. Just flat sand. And we were taken right in the middle of nowhere and dropped. And there were people all over the place. Okay? So I was leading the bus at that time. And so I said, well, what do we do here? We're just in the middle of nowhere. So we asked people and they said, well, you have to make a list of the names of all the people in your bus. And you've got to go to the administration. This is just for Indians. Go to the administration there and give them that list. And then they will let you know when they can take you out of there. Okay, great. So I made the list and I went. And although it was Syria, it was typical Indian situation. Everybody running to put their list forwards, you know. And I said, this is a mess. So I waited. Everybody went. And then I put my list. And you know, how do? They put the list and yours goes right at the bottom. And I held it and I said, oh no, we'll be the last ones to leave this place. And then the guy dropped the lists. And he picked it up and ours came somewhere closer to the top. Anyway, so, but I'm just saying that God is in control of everything. Okay, the small things in our life, the big things in our life. Here, God sent the storm, He stopped the storm. The lot fell upon Jonah and the fish came and swallowed him. Okay? So that's one thing. Okay, let's look at other things. Now, what can we learn about man? You see, first of all, Jonah heard the voice of God. Okay? He was in the presence of God and he heard the voice of God. So the lesson for us is this. If you want to hear the word of the Lord, be in His presence. Okay? And we need to hear the word of the Lord for our lives, for everything, for our job situation, for our marriage situation, for our finances, for how we are living, for everything. We need to be in God's presence. Say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? Yesterday's word is good, but each day we need to get a word from the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, are you getting fresh manna from God's word? Man does not live by roti alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, we need to make sure that we are listening to the voice of God. What is God saying to you today? You need a word. Now, sometimes the word comes and we can be disobedient. And that's what Jonah did. Jonah was not a new Christian. He was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. So it doesn't matter how long we've been followers of the true God. Each time we hear a word of God, there's a challenge and a choice. Should we obey it? Should we disobey it? And lots of times, it challenges us. The Word of God challenges us to do something that we say, oh, that's hard, that's difficult, you know. And so we've got to say, Lord, what are you saying, and what's my response to it? Okay. What was Jonah's response? Okay, Jonah decided to disobey the word of the Lord. And what did he do? When we decide to disobey the word of the Lord, this is what happens. Okay, you see, God said to him, okay, get up, go to Nineveh and preach against that city. Instead of getting up and going, as Jonah disobeyed God, he went down. 4 or 5 times in the scripture, it speaks about going down. Look at that. Okay, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he went down to Joppa. Do you see the first down there? He went down to Joppa. Okay, then, verse 5. But Jonah had gone down below deck. So first he went to Joppa, then he went down below the deck, okay, and he lay there. And then it says, and then of course they threw him into the sea. Pick me up into the sea. And that's what they did. So they took him and threw him overboard, and he went down into the sea, okay. And then of course he went down into the belly of the fish. Okay, so when we turn away from the living God, when we turn away from his word, progress is downhill. Down to Joppa, down below deck, down into the sea, and down into the belly of the fish. Okay? So that's not a good place to be in. But what we can learn from this is that even in our worst situations, when we are disobedient, okay, and I tell you what, we are all disobedient at some time or the other. Okay, to some word of the Lord or the other. When we are disobedient, God does not leave us. Okay, he pursued Jonah. He could have said, okay, Jonah, bye. I don't need you. I'll get somebody else. Okay, so he pursued Jonah. And that's a good thing. So this morning, if you've gone down and are living in disobedience to any of God's words, the good news is, God loves you and is pursuing you. Okay, he wants you to come back. He wants you to obey his word. So this is what happens. So Jonah is down, 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 and down. Okay? But God is a God of, he's in control of everything. Even in the midst of Jonah's sin, God uses him. Do you see that? How did he use him? The sailors came to faith. Okay, just look at that. It's amazing. These sailors they were praying to their own gods. Okay, and verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own god. So they had their little gods and they were just praying, help us out of the storm, help us out of the storm. But at the end of chapter 1, okay, even though Jonah had gone down, 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 even though he had disobeyed God, God used that situation to bring salvation to these sailors. Okay? So when they saw the amazing miracle that as they threw Jonah into the sea, the storm stopped and the sea became calm, this is what they did. Okay? At this, verse 16, the men greatly feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of Jonah's disobedience, God used Jonah's life to bring salvation to some sailors. Okay? So the good news is, even though we can be disobedient, yeah, God can use us. All right. But God pursued Jonah. Okay? And that's the good thing about God. He loves you. He will pursue us. And sometimes, when he brings that correction, it is painful. That's what happened. You know, Jonah was thrown into the sea, and we'll see that next week, of how he cried out to the Lord and this thing. But the end of the story, I just want to say that the good thing is that the end of the story is this. Jonah goes to Nineveh, okay? And we look at chapter 3 and verse 3. Okay, he went to Nineveh, Again, the word of the Lord came to him. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Okay, let's look at that, chapter 3. Came to Jonah a second time. Isn't this amazing? Our God is a God of second chances and third chances. First time he disobeyed him, God could have very well said, I don't need you, I'll take somebody else. You know, in the past, we've seen God speaking through making a donkey speak. You know, God could use anybody, but God gave Jonah a second opportunity. He says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you. And verse 3 is this: Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And that's something God longs to see in each of us, that we hear the word of God and we obey it. Okay? And this is it. And in verse 4, we see Jonah's message. In the original Greek, it is 5 words. He was a man of a few words. This was his message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. So I guess his animosity was still there. And he was hoping probably they wouldn't get the full message. So he says, listen, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was his message. Okay? But the amazing thing is, now remember what kind of people these were. Wicked, cruel, horrible people. But somehow, when they heard Jonah's message, something changed. Okay? And this is what happened. Each person, from the lowest person in the kingdom right to the king, they repented and they turned. Look at that. Verse 4. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. Wow. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and its nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Okay? But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It wasn't a small group of people. It wasn't a few people in an area. It was a whole city. There were 1,20,000 people at the end of the chapter. It says it was a huge city for that time. All of them repented. Okay? Wicked people repented. So that's the good news. That as we proclaim the gospel, okay, there is power that people who are evil and in their sinful ways, as we were at one time, will repent. Okay? Now, what else do we learn about God? We know that God responds to humility and repentance. That's what he does. You see? Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Wow. That's amazing. God saw the wickedness. He's a gracious and a merciful and compassionate God, and he relented. Okay? And that's what happened. And so the lesson for us this morning is this. If we're caught up in sin, disobedience to the word of God, okay, there is hope. God wants us to just turn and repent, and he will gladly come into that situation. Okay, so this is an invitation to anybody. So God does not want to punish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But his desire is that we will repent and we will turn to him in humility. Okay, that's the amazing, wonderful news. And that's what God did. And so we'll carry on with the rest of Jonah in the coming weeks. But just for us to know that Jesus himself, we looked at it earlier in Matthew 12. Let's just turn to that scripture again. Matthew chapter 12. verse 38. It says the men, verse 41, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Noah. Wow. Jesus himself said, you know those people, 800 years ago, they heard the preaching of Jonah and they repented. Okay, this is a true story. Okay? This is the true God that we worship. So this morning, ask yourselves, where am I in the story? Okay, am I somebody who's heard the word of God in this particular situation, but I'm not obeying it? Or am I like the Ninevites, caught up in some sin and I need to repent? You know, I hope our understanding of God has increased this morning. God's desire is to have mercy on people who are perishing. He doesn't want anybody to perish. You know, this morning we did, prompted by the Spirit. We did the breaking of bread. Meher did that this morning. And, you know, the Muslims celebrated something 2 days ago. What was it? Bakri'id. Remember that? What's Bakri'id, you know? Yeah, there's a sacrifice. A goat is taken and killed. The throat is slit and the blood is shed. Okay? Now, to us, it sounds very cruel. Doesn't it sound cruel? Yeah? It says, oh, how could you do that? Anyway, but you know, most religions have an element of sacrifice in them. Isn't that true? Yeah? Where something is sacrificed. And there's something that God has enabled and let go into the religions of the world to point to the great sacrifice. Okay? The great sacrifice is that Jesus was crucified on the cross. His blood was shed and he was killed. And Jesus is more precious than a million goats. Incomparable. Okay? His blood was shed for us. He was cruelly killed so that our sins would be forgiven. That's what Jonah went and proclaimed. And Jesus says to those people in Israel, he says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man, that is Jesus, will be 3 days and three nights in the grave, which Jesus was. And then because he was fully God, he was raised again to life. And this morning, if you've not yet put your trust in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Okay? Jonah is not here preaching repentance, but the message is the same. Unless we repent, we also will perish. But Jesus has made a way. That if you trust in him and say, Jesus, I believe you are the creator of the universe. You died on the cross, a cruel death for my sins, and you rose from the dead. I believe in you. Then you can be like these Ninevites who will rise up at the judgment, not to condemnation, but to eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and powerful. Lord, I thank you for your great work on the cross, Lord, where you died for the sins of the world. You were horribly slaughtered for our sins. Lord, I thank you that you've commissioned us to proclaim this message to a dying world. Lord, I pray your anointing upon us, that we would be able to do that, Lord, to tell people that unless they repent, they also will perish. Oh, Lord, would you enable us by your Spirit to do that with urgency, but with the love of God. Lord, I pray for your blessing, your protection, and your favor upon us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday here at what time? 10 o'clock. Turn to somebody and say 10 o'clock.